Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs and technology. My name's Eric. We have Will and we have Chase. Will, you're looking pretty snazzy today.
Hey, man. Not to jump directly into it. Hang on. I got an echo because stupid me opened the YouTube version, but we're live. So just so you know,
you're that guy that calls the radio show with the radio too loud.
Yeah. What was it in Airheads? Is that line when he's like, "Hey, numbnuts, why don't you turn your radio down?" Yeah. I put up the capybara poster, you know, just to give us a background, you know,
I like it.
Men with culture. And also I got these sweet, sweet shades courtesy of our longtime listener, Nevertime caller. Yeah. We got to get him on the show at this point.
I think so.
You know, thank you, man. I'm digging the look. I've usually been an aviators guy for a while, but I've been into Bret Easton Ellis and a lot of 80s movies lately. So this definitely feels my vibe. I dig it.
Hey, yeah. There you go. So for anybody that doesn't know, so I believe it was a week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that I mentioned that I had some extra running boards for the Cybertruck mm-hmm. laying around. And so I kind of threw out there on the podcast, if anybody was interested, to let me know. Jay, who has been with us from like day one, immediately in chat said that he wanted them and was interested. And so he drove down to my work and I threw on the running boards for him. And so here's a picture of Jay and I. We had a good conversation and he gave.
I look so young.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a young guy. And yeah, he gave us some sunglasses. So I mailed a Will his, and then I mailed Chase. They haven't arrived yet, but you'll get them any day now. And so once again, thank you, Jay, not only for being a loyal listener and viewer, we really appreciate you, but also just being a good guy and nice guy and, you know,
totally.
Really, really appreciate you. Thank you.
It's so nice.
Very nice. Nice guy.
It's getting dark, though. I'm going to put these bad boys up here so I can...
You got to be careful with your tabs.
I can still see. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Don't accidentally screen share, okay?
I wasn't sure if that had been an issue, but now that you say that, I'm worried.
It's been 20 minutes and Will hasn't said anything. Let's check his glasses. Oh,
yeah, there you go.
What's Will doing? Disconnect!
Another thing that I wanted to get to, also 2 weeks ago, I had made an announcement that I was going to do a raffle for the Cyber Wallet from TAC. I am sorry that I delayed it just because I've been busy, but I went ahead and today, right before the show, went ahead and did a random winner via a website that I use. So beautiful, Maggie, you are the winner. I already sent you a message. So if you're listening or if you listen to the podcast later, once I post it, please send me email and, you know, give me your mailing address and I'll go ahead and send you your wallet. So thank you. Now, getting into Tesla stuff. One thing that came up this week was how the Model S Plaid has set the world record for a quarter mile for a production car. Mm-hmm. So we need to stipulate that. But yeah, it's set.
Now, was that achieved with the factories, like, you know, what you get when you buy it, like the seats were in the car and all that? Or did they strip it down?
No. No. They did not. Here, let's go ahead and. Let me do this. Yeah.
I thought I had a second guess when I first saw the thumbnail. I'm like, wait, is this a Model S plan?
We have to. There's stipulations, right? But here you go.
No, I mean, it's a hell of a thing to still be able to, like, as just an everyday person, you could buy one and then strip it down kind of to this level if you wanted to.
The fact that you're able to, like you just said, like, you're able to just strip it down some and you're able to achieve these type of numbers is ridiculous. So it's something to really be excited about if you're a Tesla fan, because there's a lot of people that love fast cars, that love that adrenaline, and the fact that you're able to get the fastest production car, you know, is a huge plus for Tesla, right? So I thought that was pretty cool, something to note and share with everyone.
So actually, I think there's something cool to this. So I was reminded, after all the Cybertruck and after the Semi, the Semi reveal, when everybody saw the I think it was the Semi reveal when they showed the Roadster, what was going to be, but then didn't happen yet, the next generation Roadster, it was kind of one of those like, you know, oh yeah, one last things. And when Elon showed it off and he's like, yeah, it does like 0 to 60 in like 1.9 seconds. And those are old numbers. That's from like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. The one thing that I always kind of liked that he said was he was like, honestly, we're just building this car just to do like a, just an absolute like on God smackdown of ICE vehicles. Yeah. He's like, no ICE vehicle can ever, ever reach this kind of quickness. And, you know, with the original Roadster design, it was supposed to be super light, stripped down, three motors, and just blast, just take off. And now they're doing that with a Model S that anybody can buy at a production volume. So, I mean, that's exactly a big difference between what they were talking about just a couple of years ago. And now what they're like, hey, if you take the seats out, you could like basically have the fastest car in existence. That's crazy. Yeah,
the fact that you can go and buy this car today and get it, you know, probably in days or a few weeks is that's the crazy part, right? That, you know, when you think about speeds like this, you're thinking about cars that cost a lot more money and take a lot more time to actually receive. So pretty crazy. Yeah.
And I actually wonder, because I know I just found it recently, but I know there was a video of someone that compared the Model 3 performance, the previous performance version, compared to the Model S Plaid. And it was like running, the Plaid was running laps around it. But I'm curious to see now, how does the new Model 3 performance hold up? Because it is significantly faster. As well as if someone wanted to take it to a drag strip, see what the Model 3 performance could do with it completely ripped out of everything.
Yeah, just rip everything out of that thing too. Hell.
Yeah, yeah, and I would love to see that comparison, but even on a track, not just a straightaway, but like on a track where there's curves and there's turns, because I'm sure a Plaid S is going to handle that amazingly, but I think the 3 performance is just, I just feel like that's a little bit more nimble. And that's just my feeling, that I'm not, you know, making any statements that are factual. I look at the two vehicles and I think, I've always joked like a Model 3 is kind of like a go-kart, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's so small and nimble and quick. And, you know, so now you put that performance behind it, I think that would be a really, really fun.
I call my wife's Model Y a go-kart every time I drive it, especially after we got rid of that turd of a Mach-E. Like, driving her Model Y, I was like, oh my God, they're practically the same cars, but this one is so much more fun to drive. It just, you know, has that rubberiness, that tightness that you can just feel the ground. You can just feel, it's just fantastic. And yeah, so it's kind of like that is kind of why Teslas are kind of like spoil you for other cars, because you're like, the other ones they're not fun. We don't have fun in this. Damn it.
They're holding off on a gold mine. As soon as they start putting steer by wire in all these other Teslas, it's going to be game changing. Like a Model 3 performance with steer by wire, or even a Model S Plaid with steer by wire, done. Like it's going to be the best track car you can get for that price.
Was it last week, Chase, that you made the announcement that you drove 3 performance, or was it 2 weeks? Okay, so
I think
Will
it was 2 weeks ago
with
yeah.
us. Okay. So you drove that, and one of the things that you mentioned was the fact how you missed the steer-by-wire. Even though it was a fun drive, the steer-by-wire that you have in the Cybertruck really makes that big of a difference. So
huge.
you can attest to that. Like if that car had steer-by-wire, what would that do for you?
As soon as because I had a pull out of the parking space and then just take a left turn and then take a right turn onto the road, as soon as I had to do the overhand, I'm like, oh, like it just it felt so bad. Like
you're like, what's wrong?
Yeah, like this is
first world problems, right?
I feel that's one, like if we're just like comparing apples to apples, so like look at like the Cybertruck versus like all the other EV trucks, 100% you have to weight it heavily because of steer by wire compared to all the other trucks. It's so much more comfortable. Like I'm a heavy user of only driving with one hand, and it's just so comfortable. Like I can just barely put in any input and I can navigate the whole road.
Okay, so now that you say that, you drive with one hand. Now I don't know why, and forgive me, but I'm just picturing Chase with a gangster lean, one hand on
my seat's like all the way back.
It's all the way back. When you look through your side mirror, you're looking in the rear seat mirror, you know, the window, I mean. Yeah,
if this were early morning radio, this is where like some dude who has sound bites for everything would cue up the Snoop Dogg.
Hey, don't tempt me, okay? I'll buy a soundboard real quick, okay?
I'm gonna go. I can probably find one right now. Be like podcast soundboard.
There you go.
Yeah.
Real quick, we have obviously Jay and Hugo and Mark, and they're in chat. So, hey guys, thank you again for joining us, like you guys do every week. Max is in chat. Fury EV Tech is in chat.
Nice.
LJ's in chat. So thank you guys. Appreciate you guys all being here. Let me get to the next topic here, and then I could start reading some of their comments. But speaking about speed, right? We were talking about the Plaid being the fastest production car. I don't think Cybertruck Beasts are too far behind. And recently there was a video that came out of Cybertruck apparently in a car police chase.
Oh, God.
I thought you were going to use this for what the were they thinking.
I have something else for that. But yes.
Zoom.
I mean, yeah. The sad thing is that like eventually we're gonna see like more criminal activity be used with this truck. And like we always like tote about the positives of some of these capabilities. But this is gonna be the negative side. Like it is fast as all hell get out. And then it's also bulletproof for pistol calipers. Like that's a interesting combination.
Which is typically what police officers are using just quickly. I'm sure, you know, they have higher caliber in their cars sometimes, but that's interesting. It's funny because on, I think it was on Instagram, somebody posted a poll of, do you think the cops will be able to, you know, track them down? If he really wants to get away, I think he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's pretty.
When do you guys think that the days are going to come with all of these cars that have like built-in GPS that the manufacturer requires be active so they can monitor the performance of the car? How long until that becomes at play when it comes to police chases? You know, not just so you've already gone through the whole okay, the kill switch thing has already been a question that's kind of been like, no, we can't really do that. Like that's not a safe thing or whatever the reasoning. But the GPS tracking.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is kind of one of those things that the cops eventually will build into their network to be like, we know it's him. We know it's on our GPS. Just stop chasing him. We'll just follow him home or something, or just drive at low speed or whatever.
I can see that being a play, especially because it would be, there's going to be long list of legalities to get that even to become a thing, because otherwise the police would just start tracking your phone like as soon as they initiate a chase.
Yeah, so true.
Technically, without a warrant, they can't just track your location. But
true. I wonder if there's a barrier between the personal, since you yourself have a an expectation of privacy, as in not to be tracked, versus your vehicle literally has a manufacturer tracking system in it that you bought from day one,
right?
And it's a registered vehicle to be operated in that state, so therefore it becomes a gray area. It's one of those things. I imagine that they're like, yeah, we've actually been doing it for years. Sorry,
probably have.
You know, well, you're gonna find out.
It's a good gray area because they have legal speak, and I'm not a lawyer, so don't take this for anything. Technically, if they're tracking just the vehicle and you happen to be in it, they're just tracking the vehicle. They're not actually tracking you, so that might be where that gray area could.
Yeah, that's true. Happen. That's true. That does create a we can't track because we're not sure we're tracking the right thing.
Right, and it'll depend state to state too, because like I know in Texas. Texas, they consider your vehicle actually an extension of your home. So, like a lot of the stand your ground gun laws that happen with your house, they also extend to your vehicle as well. So, technically, to carry a weapon in your vehicle, you do not need a permit. But I mean that obviously changed like a few years ago, anyways. But
yeah, okay.
Basically, because they feel like it's an extension of your home, which is.
Yeah, I guess the way that they look at it, yeah, as far as expectation of non-violation of space or invasion or any expectations of privacy is probably an extension of the castle doctrine or something like that.
You
drop your camera. Don't try to block. Like last, I even dropped my camera like eight times and I got called out for it. So I'm not going to do that this week. I'm just saying.
Okay, so I got an alert on my screen that said that my camera wasn't working. It wasn't something was happening. And I was telling Will right before the show started, because Will bought a new camera, and I was telling him how I use my phone as my camera. And I've been wanting to buy I've been wanting to buy a actual dedicated camera for the podcast, but the phone works well. It has good quality.
Yeah.
But like last week, I had to use my laptop camera because for whatever reason, the handoff between Apple and Apple devices wasn't working, and I couldn't figure out how to get it to work. And so right now, it alerted me saying your camera's not working. So I took my phone down and I fixed it, and then I'm putting it back up, and now the camera's all
ka-flop.
So
it's anyway, a professional service here.
I think I need to get a camera. Nonetheless,
you could have fooled me. I thought you had like an actual webcam, but that makes more sense. Why?
Yeah,
you
honestly, your image looks so fucking good. Yeah. That's why I've been struggling with my turd of a webcam for 20 million episodes. That I'm like, I need to get some legit shit here. There's no way I should keep looking like crap. So
yeah,
I was like, what's the best Amazon has to offer? $60? No. Where's 55?
Like built in background blurring and everything too. So that's nice.
That's all the Apple built-in stuff. But yeah.
I'm a practical guy. These are real capybara poster behind me that I got from Temu. I'm an in-person guy. I like practical effects. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, those are martinis. Yeah.
And cigars. And he's got some he's got a cigar.
They're classy fellas. Capybaras are like the most chill animal in the animal kingdom, and I think that they deserve recognition for that.
So we have some comments. Let me read the comments specifically about what we were talking about, the GPS tracking police situation. So Mark states, a GPS tracking will come soon after some doofus pulls a Mustang exiting a Cars and Coffee in a high-performance EV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we also have, if LJ says, if you're not breaking the law, you won't have to worry about it. They may pass a law. If you're breaking the law, they can get a quick warrant. And then Fury EV Tech says the police here in Cary, North Carolina, are running Model Y performances. So,
like I said before,
we're starting to see more and more of that, right?
Yeah, my brother's PD. They have two Model Ys in their fleet because they use them on the highway. Because what better way to catch up to someone that's already going at highway speed from a dead stop than with an EV? Like it's really capable.
Meanwhile, here in LA, they just have helicopters. They just chase them all by helicopters in the sky, which is way, way, way expensive. But I mean, it does minimize the possibility of like civilian, you know, of people getting into an accident, because it's like if there's no cops on you, then they're not chasing you. So they're they're gonna, you know, try to hide, but you know they're like, whoa, no, the helicopter. So
yeah. We do have a comment from Fury EV Tech, and it's Rivian oriented, so I would love to get Will's take on this, and then I think I would love to get some of Will's take on some of the topics we spoke about last week. So he states, next year quad motor Cybertruck, we all know it's coming. No way Elon's going to let Rivian Gen 2 quad motor beat the Cybertruck. LOL.
Yeah. Well,
is it?
That is what I think is an interesting conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will a quad motor Cybertruck, because we don't know what that's going to look like, right? We've speculated for months of what is that going to look like? What are they going to take away from the Foundation series other than badging?
Yeah.
And give the non-Foundation series, you know, dual motor, you know, Cybertruck. You know, what is that going to look like? You know, and then if they're going to do a quad motor Cybertruck, are they going to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, is that something that would be in the plans because they want to one up a Rivian? I don't know. Is Cyber Beast enough?
I don't feel like Tesla does a lot to kind of have like, it's not like a response to a diss track. It's not like, you know, a response is warranted. I don't think that Tesla has really played that game with any of the manufacturers, because they're head and shoulders and like knees and toes above most of the other makers. But when the other makers have something that I think, you know, it's like Ford has had a vehicle to house discharging or power capability for a while, but you know, it's not that hasn't accelerated Tesla to be like, oh, we need to get PowerShare out there now. Ford's beating us. You know, it's not a big issue. I think that, so I don't think that Tesla's really been ever like pushed to respond to anything like that. However, like I said, but the people who engineer at Tesla, I do believe that there is a fair amount of rowdy boys over there still designing these cars. and mm-hmm. wanting to make a statement. And I think we can see a lot happen in the next, I'll say 2 years. You know, right now, you know, you have a lot of people who are interested in the Cybertruck a year ago who are antsy. They were super interested. They had a reservation. They're going into the season. They're like, I'm waiting for my, you know, my the possibility of my $60,000 Cybertruck or whatever. And then everybody found out it's going to actually be 80. And if you get the, but you have to get the Foundation Series at first, and it's 100 and 120 Cyber Beast. It's a lot of difference. So I think that you've got, I know that we're slated to talk about the Foundation Series news, but you know, I'll tease that now. But the vehicles, the Cybertruck, I'm wondering if when they do, if they do bring the price down of the dual motor and the Cyber Beast, what I think that it gives them room to do is to have a response to the R1T quad, mm-hmm. where you have a quad Cybertruck or a quad Cyber Beast, you know, whatever they want to call it, and keep that one at a price point that's, you know, competitive with the R1T, but has some other stuff to it, because they have the steer by wire and they have the discrete rear wheel actuation. So I'm like, and I know that some of the other EV makers have been showing off crab walking for some of the vehicles. That was one of those things that Tesla mm-hmm. enthusiasts were like, oh man, what if they have the crab capability, at least in the off-road mode or just easy parking? Maybe that could be a chance down the road to kind of solidify a $90,000 Cybertruck that's a quad motor, but also has some of those other things that they could really set it apart from the existing Cybertrucks when those prices come down.
I agree. I think something I would like to remind is the capability currently with the Cyber Beast, the Tri-Motor, is right in line with... Oh, wait, I'm looking at the Tri-Motor R1T. Hold up. Rewind. I didn't realize. Okay. I was thinking, oh, wait, I was looking at it. I'm like, the capability is the same. Why would you want to add an extra engine? But I will say, though, my other point was, so in the Cyber Beast, we know, for instance, it's three motors. And typically, like, if you would say, hey, I'm going to put three motors in a truck, you would assume, all right, put two in the back and one in the front, because it's rear wheel drive. For the most part, it's all wheel, but most of your power is in the rear. But that's not the case with the Cyber Beast. Cyber Beast mm-hmm. is one giant motor in the back that there's no room for any other motor. And then two of the rear motors from the dual motor in the front. And that's the configuration of the tri-motor. So it's interesting, because I'm not really sure if they went with a quad, they would have to take four of the dual motor engines and just do mm-hmm. one for each tire, because that's the only thing you'd have space for. Or they could do an updated dual motor that has two of the Cyber Beast motors that are just giant, if it even fits in the front.
But I also think that there's room to consider. So the Cyber Beast has the what you said, the front motor was the block, and then the rears are the two
the opposite.
Discrete other way.
The block is in the back.
Yeah. But the question is, okay, so like the block in the back, what if two of the discrete front motors duplicated into the back instead of that block mm-hmm. gave it some advantage that they know about, because it's that little bit of extra articulation between the wheels.
Could be
that
range.
They can code into something. Yeah, or you know, any yeah. number of things like that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, you know, I was thinking about as you guys were talking, that, you know, last few months, we've been hearing more and more about how some Cybertrucks that the rear, what is it called, the drive unit is mm-hmm. is being replaced.
Yep.
And it seems, and I don't know this for sure, but it seems like that's mainly on the Cyber Beasts, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's a maybe, but I know some people that have had Cyber Beasts that's been the case. Yep. And I haven't heard many with dual motor having that issue,
right?
Personally. And so I wonder, it's an interesting topic. Maybe they do go to that configuration where maybe there's two in the front, two in the back, and get away from maybe they just eliminate the tri-motor.
They could. That'd be an easy way to get rid of that motor.
Exactly. If they're having that issue with the tri-motor setup, maybe just eliminate it and go just to a quad motor. Mm-hmm. That could be a possibility. And once again, mm-hmm. I'm just speculating. I'm not saying that this is, you know, really a big issue or not, but just people that I've talked to that actually own Beasts that have had issues with their drive units and having them replaced, they've only been Cyber Beasts that I've seen.
That's good to know. Yeah, because I've thought about that too on mine, because it's about that same kind of mile range that a lot of them have been.
Well, Out of Spec was the first guy, Kyle, to report this, right? Mm-hmm. That they were experimenting. I don't think it was an experiment. I think they were trying to get ahead of, we know this is a known issue. We don't want it to happen to you because you have a following. That's my speculation. And he has a beast. So just kind of putting two to two together, I guess.
I think there might be something there. Yeah, because that's another thing that I've definitely keep an eye out for, because it definitely seems serious. Because a lot of, and we've noticed even it was happening with new deliveries around that same time too, with in later VINs, where we haven't seen that as much lately. The videos of people like literally just driving off the lot because they just got delivered the Cyber Beast, and they take a turn and they're like, nope, it just like stunts it down to like 40 miles an hour, and then they're like, you have to like go into service mode right now. But we haven't seen that in a while. So whatever that was, I don't know if it's related to that in that kind of run of VINs or what happened, but seems to be fixed.
Yeah, Fury EV Tech is in chat, and he states that the early VIN all-wheel drive have motor issues. I don't know if that's true. All three of us had, Will no longer has a Cybertruck, but he had a lower VIN. Chase, you have a lower VIN. I have 15. A sub. You have a sub 1000 VIN. None of us experienced any issues. Obviously, we're only three, but you know, I don't know. I don't know where that is. I know we've talked about in the show many, many times how we feel in our experiences is that maybe around sub 2000 VINs, the build quality seemed to have been a lot more, you know, of quality, as opposed to what have we speculated, somewhere between like the 2000, 5000, somewhere around there. There seemed to be a lot of issues when they, I guess, started ramping up production. It seems like from our vantage point, because that's definitely when we were getting a lot of that news, right?
Yeah. And and it seems like even keeping a tab on that, I should have saved it, but I knew there was another engine issue that popped up, and I asked the owner, I was like, hey, what was the VIN? And they were saying it was like 22 something. So I'm like, I think it has to be like after that 2000 mark when they really started ramping up. Needless, they went from a few hundred trucks a week to 1,300 trucks a week.
Yeah.
So they exponentially ramped up for sure. And that's, I think, where, you know, that growing pain of getting the trucks up and running start to happen. And then a couple weeks happened, and then they were back to normal. So I don't know how far into the VINs the issues go, but that would be interesting to see after the term. But needless to say, for people that are like maybe thinking about it right now to buy something brand new, we're already at like 32,000, I believe, VINs. So
we're way past 30,000 now. I know LJ, I think, told us last week that he just got his Cybertruck. Will, you missed that announcement. LJ, our longtime listener as well, he finally got his Cybertruck, I believe, last week.
Oh, and nice.
He was plus 27,000, I think, VIN numbers.
Oh, yeah, he's fine. Yeah, his is safe. He's fine.
So, yeah, I think...
insert, though, because on the official Tesla website, when I was trying to look up the actual specs again, these people, or whoever is listening, because you probably know that the Tesla marketing department is listening to our podcast.
Of course. Pull
something that I've been saying for months, and I've always said that this is like a dopamine on tap, this driving this truck. And literally on the front page, Tesla.com/Cybertruck, there's a whole video and whole section. This is dopamine on tap, 0 to 60 on here. These people, come on. Where's my kickbacks?
Give me a free Cybertruck. Apparently.
Can we jump back? I was in the YouTube chat, and there was a whole conversation about PowerShare.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Being too expensive. And I feel like I want to make that my just the tip, because I did see that people were mentioning Fury EV, he mentioned that you can get a switch so you can plug in your house and run it as manual for less than $800. And that's absolutely true. I believe that you can get a NEMA 1450, but you need to have like a special cord made, or just somebody who knows what they're doing, so set it up for you. But it's all hardware that's at Lowe's or some, you know, mostly electronic suppliers. There's no reason why you couldn't have somebody come to your house and set up your PowerShare, your Tesla Cybertruck as a power source right now. Like, and it's basically just a manual transfer switch, I believe. You just like click the switch over. It breaks, you know, from whatever the other, you know, whatever the grid is necessarily, or just goes straight off the truck. But yeah, it's something that's available now. The PowerShare that Tesla is teasing is more of a set it and forget it. It uses the NACS plug. You plug in the truck, The grid goes down. It detects a grid fault and immediately starts pulling from your Cybertruck to power the house. That's the way that all vehicle to house, vehicle to grid, whatever, are meant to work. The cool thing is that, yeah, it'll be great when it works through the wall connector. But right now, you could theoretically go and speak to an electrician and they can get you set up with something that would just plug. You'd have to just plug it directly into the NEMO 1450 in your Tesla and set up the software to know to turn it on when you're at home. But yeah, you could be running your house off your truck right now.
You brought up a great point that I didn't even think of that I would maybe consider is like having, I was like, I wonder if they make like 240 volt like power cords that are like extension cords.
They absolutely do.
In theory, you could do like a poor man's power share with the Cybertruck, which is hilariously ironic. I get that. But you could, in theory,
like, I don't consider it a poor man's share. This is all industrial equipment. Like know, if right? it was like stuff that you were like smelting in your garage to make the copper, you're like, I'm going to put it together and it'll work.
I'm just saying it's like,
it's the stuff at Lowe's, you know, it's like, you just go get a transfer switch. It's fine.
Instead of like spending $3,000 for like a gas, like whole home generator, yes. like backup yes. system, you're spending $100,000 on a truck to like run as a glorified battery. Yeah. But yeah. The idea is like, you could do an extension off at the 240 in the bed to power like a, you know, a really it's the refrigerator, let's be honest. Or if you could somehow, yeah, wired into your AC as well, do a direct connect.
Did you just call the Cybertruck a refrigerator?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can plug your refrigerator into the Cybertruck.
Get him, boys!
Not the refrigerator into the refrigerator.
Your refrigerator is powering your refrigerator.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
No, if you go onto Amazon, just look for an RV NEMA 1450 extension cord. They make them, you know, female one end, male on the other, 30 foot, 25 foot. I think that they run somewhere around $100. Mm-hmm. They've been used for a while for campers. Whenever, you know, you get to a campsite and you want power, you want to power the van or power the RV. I recommend everybody get one of those and keep it with your car, because if you're in a situation where you're like, I need to figure out how to run a cord and you just need that little bit of extra distance, that 25 feet is amazing.
I'd agree. Like 25 foot right now, $94, bump that up to a 50 foot, you're spending $200, and then 100 foot is about $470 on Amazon on sale. But yeah, I definitely think that kind of like, I chopped that up with like extension cables for jumping like another vehicle. Mm. Like you can never have too long of a cord in certain situations. 100%. So yeah, I think that's a great kind of little accessory that I have not heard anybody talk about, of having extension for their power outlet. Because then you could use that with the, you know, the mobile charger as well. You just have an extension cord.
Well, they make them for the superchargers now too. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I sent you guys that link, I thought. I'm pretty sure I did. The it's a NACS to NACS extension.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that next.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so okay.
Let's go ahead and it's gonna kind of change the subject a little bit, but let's get into that.
It's too linear. If you want to follow this shit, tune in early. Damn it.
So something that, you know, that's kind of happening in the industry is the fact that it seems like the adoption of NACS is happening across all manufacturers of EVs, and Lucid has jumped on that train.
Yep.
So Lucid has a new SUV coming out, and they made the announcement that vehicle, the Gravity, will be equipped with NACS, which is, I think, great news, because, you know, we've talked about it many times, how the supercharging network is the best network, and having an NACS and not needing adapters and all that type of stuff is fantastic for the consumers, right? For people that are in the EV market, you don't want to just, even though we like Teslas, doesn't mean that we only like Teslas. I mean, Will has a Rivian. I love Rivians. No. I love the Lucids. Will hates
Ford Mach-E. Sucks. That goddamn car.
Tell us how you really feel.
Do you have enough time? How long is this podcast? Sorry, folks, you're gonna have to listen to a lot of F-bombs. Here we go.
So, I mean, I think this is great, you know, but one of the issues now has become placement of the charging port. Tesla has them on the driver's side in the rear quarter panel. The Gravity is showing that that's where they're putting theirs, which is great news, but Rivians aren't. I don't think the Fords aren't. The Fords are up in the driver's side front quarter panel. I've been to superchargers where I've seen Rivians and other EVs parking in weird ways to try to get themselves in a position to charge at a supercharger. So once again, going into what we were just talking about, extension cords, Will did find an extension cord that can help alleviate that issue. And here it is.
I've been waiting so long for somebody to come up with it. I'm really genuinely surprised it took this long because a part of the conversation, Tesla folks, you never have to deal with it because the charge port is always in the same place, driver's side, back wheel. Other manufacturers, my Rivian R1S has the charge port by the driver's side front, right by the front a headlight. Other manufacturers have placed it in different spots throughout the car. Some of them, I think it's like on the B pillar near the back passenger door. Sometimes it's, you know, I don't even know where the hell it is. Oh, and on the Mach-E, it's by the wheel somewhere. Who cares? But the fact that they've got Rivian hasn't moved the charge port. They're going to start doing NACS before they move the charge port to mimic what Tesla is. And there's always been this idea that, you know, if you're using this, so if you use a supercharger, if you park with a Rivian nose in, you have to, the cord has to get all the way across to you and it doesn't reach that far. This is the perfect solution to it because it lets you supercharge with any car, like in any parking configuration. I could back in my Rivian and still have enough space to run the cord up to plug it into the front. So this is clutch.
I would almost say that if I was Tesla and when, you know, Rivian came to them and said, hey, we want to use your supercharging network, you know, we're going to give our owners the adapter to be able to charge at your superchargers. If I was Tesla, I would have almost made it mandatory to include an extension cable like this.
I think that their solution to it was to make the cords at the superchargers longer. That they increase the length and the design of it because the design is now going to be that V4 design, which is bulkier. Yes. And has a different kind of swoop to it. So, but yeah, I think that's the solution that they're going for. But seeing a bunch of the cords cut off of the damn things, I'm imagining that they're not exactly wanting to just put a bunch of copper out in the road and be like, here, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think having extension cords, because not the V4s are fantastic, but there's not many of them, right? Yeah. And so for now, that's what I would have done. I would have said, hey, Rivian, we're more than happy to have you. Ford, we're more than happy to have you. But this is a requirement because, like I said, I've been to a supercharger where there was a Rivian taking up multiple spots because they're parked sideways trying to charge. And every other charging stall was full. So yeah. They're taking up a valuable spot. Luckily, there's nobody waiting, so it didn't cause any havoc. But, you know, as you can imagine, that could. And so this is great. This company is A2Z EV, and they're making this product. So, you know, I have no affiliation with them.
I'm sitting on my ass waiting for my Rivian supercharger adapter that'll let me do the CCS thing for my Rivian at Tesla superchargers. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to send me one. So far, absolutely nothing has shown up for me. So I've seriously thought about I think A2Z's also got a plug adapter that you can just buy for $200. That looked interesting too. But I'm just glad that people are coming up with solutions like this. It's like, because it's necessary. It's so necessary. Yeah. And someone's doing it. Thank God.
Yeah, I don't even know how much. Do you know how much they were charging A to Z?
I thought they were just showing it off. I didn't see a price tag on it.
Okay.
But let me, yeah, I don't know.
I didn't see it.
What is kind of interesting that I think, speaking of charging and then also kind of looping back into Lucid a little bit, it's interesting that Lucid is very much like pushing, obviously, the speed and the horsepower, the torque with the EV, but they're mostly, it looks like they're really pushing that EPA estimated range for a lot of their vehicles. So like even just based off of their base packages, all of their ranges are over 400. Mm-hmm. Actually, true range or not, like they're also like toting like a 500 plus range on like certain configurations, which is very interesting. But also thinking about like the charging, it's really, it would almost be a net negative impact if we had, say, half of the Tesla fleet with a 400-mile plus range with all of these V2 and V3 chargers on board, because then it would almost increase the time that all these vehicles needed to actually charge, even to get up to 80%. So if you have bigger batteries, we need faster charging to be able to have the same net impact at the supercharger, because otherwise you're going to like clog up the superchargers and then nobody's going to be able to charge. Like I've even this week saw people are talking about how people were talking about the supercharging network on X this week, and then I think Elon had tweeted back at somebody who was like, "Oh, what do we need to do?" And then people were bringing up some of the issues, especially in parts of California, like how I guess after 11 p.m., the price at some of the superchargers go below like that 15 cents per kilowatt hour mark, which is cheaper than you could actually buy electric at home. Yep. So people are just like flooding the superchargers after 11 p.m. just to charge for cheaper than they can at home, which creates an issue because energies are really, really expensive out there.
Yeah, 100%. Not to change the subject at all, but the A to Z extension cord is not out yet. It's coming soon. And it's listed as $301. I don't know why it's one. Why is it 301? But anyway,
it might just be it's probably just like a placeholder price that they put in it or whatever. Yeah,
okay. So anybody interested, once again, we have no affiliation with them, but A to Z EVShop.com. You can find it if there's anybody out there that's interested.
And
in
at least they tease that it's either going to be like length is six to 9 feet. So I guess maybe they haven't chosen, but it does at least advertise voltage of up to 1,000 volts, which will enable it for V4 level 3 charging, 800 volt or whatever.
A hot topic that we've been talking about for months now is Cybertruck FSD. Last week, I believe it was later after our last episode last Wednesday, or maybe even the very next day. No, it was last, at 10:29 p.m. Last Wednesday.
That we saw
right after the podcast.
Right after you logged off.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that tends to be the case with us. Tesla scooped. AI put out a tweet kind of giving some rough timeline of how the next the roadmap, as they say, for FSD and different things. So they have right here that the actual smart summon, which has been released, right?
It's in one direction though, right? It's the ass from a parking space to the driver, not the ass the other way. Hey, they chose the terminology. I'm going to respect it.
Elon knew what he was doing.
Take your ass back to the parking space, or is it the ass getting over here right now? Get your ass over here right now.
Yeah, I think it's more of the get your ass over here right now. I think that's the way it goes.
Yeah, but it's they gave this roadmap, which, like we said, the ass is already out.
Yeah, it is.
Auto park. I don't have it yet, but I know some people have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it states in here, September 2024, Cybertruck FSD. It is the last one on the list, so I don't know if that means that it's going to be towards the end of the month. I mean,
it's so close to that October list. You just bump down, bump one more down.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
There's a translation tool that I use in all things, and it's, you know, sometimes brevity proves that there's something awry. And it's like, okay, so you got the top ones. You've got literally notes on here, 3 times improved miles between AI3 computer unified miles. Who at home knows what that means off the top of their head if they're a Tesla owner? They have no idea what the AI3 computer is or the AI4 computer, any of this stuff. Cybertruck Auto Park is pretty specific, but I mean, it's still a feature. And then Cybertruck FSD. Like, you're not going to expand that. You're not going to be like, you know, like, oh, Cybertruck FSD with full functionality on the highways, on mimicking navigate on autopilot, as well as city street driving capable. No, there's none of that kind of marketing tech speak. It's literally just tersely like Cybertruck FSD, as if it fell off the list, you wouldn't miss it. And that kind of annoys me because everything else here is fairly like, hey guys, you know, this, we're taking it seriously. FSD in Europe, pending regulatory approval. Yeah, of course. All those things. Unpark, park, and reverse in FSD. Fantastic. Cybertruck FSD. Yeah, like, yeah, that's the thing everyone's been waiting for. Any notes? Mm-hmm. Like anything specific? You know.
What are you talking about? They have the little triangle emoji.
I was gonna say, I like how they put the little triangle, but if you notice, it's in butter yellow.
Protractor.
Butter yellow.
Butter yellow.
It's in butter yellow on the desktop.
I don't know. Maybe I know something.
Just makes me skeptical.
but you bring that up, and it's a good point. Well, over here on the Tesla website, it now states that it says Tesla is no longer selling FSD as a package. They are only selling FSD supervised, and there's no longer the promise that the car will completely mm-hmm. drive itself, only that car will drive with minimal driver intervention. So it seems like they're, what was it, a few months ago, you know, Elon was in big trouble with the government because, you know, they were bringing up the fact that he's promised full self-driving, hands-free driving, and it hasn't happened. So it seems like
every year since 2017.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they were upset about that, right? And and so now it seems like, you know, they're wanting legally to change the verbiage and just state that, hey, it's not going to be so much that you can just set it and forget it. It's just minimal driver intervention. So
I took it kind of a different way. Oh, I you know, there's been a conversation with everybody being that even back in 2017, 2018, the wild forward-looking statements of Elon Musk were usually rooted in the idea that the hardware that was in the car was capable of FSD, something that they've always rallied behind. And now I think that this is kind of showing their hand that maybe they don't want to have to honor the notion of all the cars that they've sold. If they find that FSD in all environments, like the way that true level 5 autonomy, the brain power that it would have to achieve that, it may not be with the hardware that they have right now. It may not be the hardware that they can even foreseeably make for the next couple of years. And they're going to keep striving towards it. And they definitely oversold it. But there's a part of me that it's like, you know, it's one of those like shit or get off the pot moments. It's like if you had FSD solved, it would have been, you'd been selling it right now. You'd be making trillions of dollars automating the entire worldwide fleet of cars if you had truly solved autonomy. But since that isn't happen, I'm just worried that this is a way for them to sunset legacy vehicles that don't have the hardware or sunset the liability issue of, well, I bought my FSD on my 2021 Model Y, and I was told that it would be full self-driving capable. Okay, I bought FSD. This isn't me. I didn't buy it for my wife's Model Y. She hates FSD. If I'm selling it saying you'll have FSD, that means that's a car that I have to always have a hardware upgrade path to give them that ability, or buy them out, or to have some sort of a settlement or something like that. I just see this as changing the language of being like, you know, this is actually a very complicated thing, and we want to make sure that moving forward, we're not trying to oversell it to create this huge liability snowball that's going to come back and bite us in the ass on all the Cybertrucks now and have to have upgraded hardware to achieve FSD, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think that's a really valid point, and I think it could be a combination of both, right? I think nonetheless, they're trying to cover their bases. They're trying to make sure that, you know, they don't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. That nobody comes after them for stating something that maybe they can't deliver right now. So,
and the first thought that I had when I saw this is also the fact that the FSD, you know, they occasionally let you transfer it to a new car if you're buying a new car. But in general, like once if your car is wrecked, if it's salvaged, it's gone, then there goes your license. There's no way to transfer it to a new vehicle. And I think that that's always created this cascade of vehicles that were being wrecked and couldn't move FSD. So it wasn't a liability that wasn't on their books anymore. It wasn't this is a car that we have to make sure gets to level 5 someday. Because that price may be continuously growing to the point where it might be exponential, that somebody is like, guys, you know, we just don't have the hardware for it right now. That's just the fact of life. The cars that are out there right now, if they're still on the road when we get to that point, when we hit level 5, we will 100% get them there. But we can't keep selling it without some expectation of making sure that they get that last little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because the technology may not exist, the hardware may not. There's just so many things that it's like, yeah, you could probably confidently sell it, pre-sell it now and make a lot of money. But it may cost more to get there than you anticipated. You know, and that's a typical, you know, project creep kind of an issue.
Yeah, this is clearly a win for the lawyer and the legal team over at Tesla. They're all high-fiving each other and then crying when Elon goes and tweets a meme.
Yeah, dabbing their tears with $50 bills. Oh, it sucks.
Yeah, so but yeah, sad. definitely verbiage covering their asses. So I can't blame them. Just business at that point.
Either. They're being forced to, I think, at this point.
Yeah. No, I just think, I really just think that it's one of those, like, I mean, you know, I'm telling you, like, 7 years ago, standing in a showroom, somebody's telling me, oh, yeah, Tesla cars drive themselves. We're just waiting for the government to flip the switch. This is clearly the other side of that spectrum where it's like, not only are we not going to make absurd statements about things that we maybe can't deliver, we're going to make damn sure that we're very explicit about what we are selling you right now.
Yeah.
And right now, we're selling you a supervised version of our full self-driving system.
Well, it's kind of the opposite of the evolution of Tesla too, because you have, in those early days, they were still just selling, you know, the luxury kind of EV vehicle.
Yeah.
But now they've kind of fully merged into, you know, full-on consumer production, where they really do, at a wider, you know, breadth of consumers, they have to be more specific in their wording. Whereas earlier, they could just kind of half sell, you know, the idea for that premium.
Yeah.
But now they have to actually put it to brass tacks, because those margins of, like, buying a $80,000, you know, brand new Tesla is coming to a close. Like, I think that's outside of, like, Cybertruck. And maybe, well, obviously the Plaid and, you know, the Roadster and all that, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of Teslas are going to be under 40,000 here soon.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And I, you know, we've speculated that there's going to be the Robotaxi event, and at that event, possibly they announced the what people have dubbed the $25,000 Tesla. And so here is, obviously, somebody came up with this, what would you call it, like a AI image of what that vehicle may look like. And obviously that's not official, but, you know, so I wanted to talk about the Robotaxi. Last week there was speculation that it,
Hang on. Can we take a moment to appreciate that the Falcon Wing doors are not large enough that when they close, they actually close up the car? Top work, AI. Well done.
Yeah.
Everyone loves. Yeah. Panel gaps. Those are panel gaps. That's.
Show me fingers.
Panel openings.
Like sausage fingers.
Yeah. You don't need a window at the drive thru. You just reach around the panel that's missing. Be like, yes, thank you very much.
100%. But, you know, there was speculation last week that the 1010 Robotaxi event was going to be moved from Texas to California. That was speculation. Confirmed. Well, now it's confirmed. It will indeed be in California. So luckily, our buddy Chase will be coming out to California next month. putting pressure on him. Yeah, and so that's been confirmed, which is nice. And there's also news on how you can possibly get into the event, and that's been put out. You can go to Tesla's website, and if you are a Tesla retail shareholder, you can go ahead and go on their website and submit some information, and they'll go ahead and verify that you are actually a Tesla shareholder. And if you are, there's going to be a raffle. And I don't know how many people, but they're going to let in so many people that are shareholders. And, you know, that's how you can get into this event. And I know this is going to be a big thing. Whether any of us are able to get into it or not, I would love to try to get out there somewhere and find out where all the action's at. And, you know, Will, obviously, hopefully we can get out there. And if Chase is able to come out, all three of us can get out there and
I gotta just see if my Warner Brothers security badge still works, because if I can just sneak in, I'll be like, I'll do the movie theater thing, you know, back when we were teenagers, you're like, just there, pop open the door near the emergency exit, bam, there's 10 people running. Yeah
It's getting near my stomach grounds. I used to live in West LA for a little bit, kind of close to Culver City, but yeah, we'd go up in the valley quite a bit. Be curious. Check it out again.
So do we know if it is at the Warner Brothers? Is that for sure?
Or we're just speculating? 95% sure, because I think there was another report today that actually came out and kind of
I had seen something about it too. Yeah. And because it had me stewing on it, because it's like, so I've watched a lot of Tesla release events, and they love doing them at the airport in Hawthorne. Chase has got news. What's up?
Not news. I'm just like, I'm just looking. Just so if you want to bring up, bring up the Google Maps of the lot. You mentioned it actually in our chat earlier of like, oh, they've got like a full like city street set up.
Yeah, Warner Brothers has their in their back lot. They've got streets that look like neighborhoods and stuff. They've shot lots of TV shows, lots of movies and stuff. And they've used a lot of those quote unquote neighborhoods to act as on-camera neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah.
But so when they shoot at the – when they normally have the Tesla releases, they've done them at the Tesla facility that's right there in the Hawthorne Airport. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, that was where they were doing the Roadster launches and the, and a lot of the times they did the Cybertruck drive arounds and whatever. Mm-hmm. But this might prove that it's going to be a significant robotaxi issue, because now they've probably, I wonder if they've been at Warner Brothers testing the vehicles, you know, just doing validation on it so that people could get in and be like, yeah, get around. And it's just going to drive around the neighborhood or do whatever.
That's kind of my guess, is that I think they're going to do like test drives at the event with robotaxi around the neighborhood in the, on the Warner Brother lot. That would make the most sense right there.
Tesla always, I mean, at all of their events, I think except for like the solar roof event, like every one of the events has included a hey, you can walk up and touch it. Or actually the Model 3 initial reveal, I don't think had test drives or ride-alongs with it, but everything else has pretty much had ride-alongs. And so, yeah, I mean, it would make perfect sense. It's like, hey, we can have a controlled residential neighborhood that we don't have to pay to lock down a whole neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
It would make sense.
I think I asked in our chat too, like, what's the why? 100% that's going to happen. That's the why. That's why they're going to the Warner Brothers a lot.
Yeah.
Put money in it.
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. 100% makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't they? If they're going to have it there, then that would be the perfect place to do.
It's the best. I mean, I was trying to think of other reasons, because, you know, they have sound stages with elephant doors with like drive through. So you could at least have people come in, like drive in and drive out, do pickups in a sound stage and then take them somewhere else. You know, because a lot of the events have always had kind of a keynote feel. And then like you don't know what happens after that. Like people just wind up in Roadsters doing test drives, or they wind up in Cybertrucks doing test drives. This might be a little bit. I was like, okay, a soundstage, they might have like a little bit more of an environment set up, a theming and all that whatnot. But I mean, it makes perfect sense to just be like, all right, we're just going to do the thing because we have the space for it. And then, you know, let people drive around the back lot.
Less than 1,000 miles away from the grave of Paul Walker, by the way. I'm also noticing on a Google Maps by chance.
But with Paul Walker?
I don't know why Google is calling this out, but it is.
Wow.
Next door.
Hey, Paul Walker was a national treasure. So
I know, right? But so one thing that I'm kind of, I'll tiptoe on, because I know some things. I'll tell you guys
that's
later.
That's why his name underneath is, it says the Connect.
His name is John Cena.
I want to speculate. I want to speculate, because I've said it before. I feel like maybe we talked about like the, what's going to be the one more thing for this event. I think it could be the Roadster, but I feel like, given the fact that everything's been delayed with full self-driving and robotaxi to this point, I don't think the Roadster is going to be like ready for them to have its own. It'll probably have its own event, I would assume. But my question is, the $25,000 Tesla and this robotaxi seems to be happening around the same time, but nobody's said anything about what if the $25,000 Tesla is the robotaxi. They're like, hey, here's a robotaxi. Well, and you could buy it for $25,000 and it'll drive you around. Like, what if that's the case?
Let me throw this out there. What if it's the, we're playing the speculation game, right? So what if it's the robotaxi is the $25,000 Tesla, but in order for it to have the robotaxi features, there's an added charge.
Like if it would go and do
like,
the
hey,
taxi
if you
things?
Want, yeah, if you want the taxi thing, it, like it's going to go make you money.
Sure, it could be.
It's going to be another $10,000, $15,000, whatever that is. So that you can buy it just as a standalone $25,000 Tesla, or it's a business. You want to go make money for yourself here.
But it's already speculated and designed that it's not going to have a steering wheel, so that even if this was your own robotaxi, it would just take you to wherever you need to go, which is kind of
see that
kind
would
of crazy.
Just be crazy. That would just
you know
be crazy.
Like that's a completely fundamental change of the way that
100%
cars even work. You know,
so yeah. I think that so, a lot of the robotaxi talk had been about in the early days. It was about the idea of you as a Tesla owner could drive your car to work, park in the parking lot, go into work, and then you hit a button that says, "Hey, go earn me money," and it goes out, and the Tesla robotaxis use some money. With that in mind, my prediction for a lot of this, and this may not just be the 1010 event, but for forward, I think that the fundamental thing about the robotaxi is that it needs to be almost negligibly cheap compared to the cost of all the other cars for it to make sense for Tesla to operate on their end hardware. Whereas if all of the cars that have full self-driving are capable of inclusion in the robotaxi network, and they don't want to undermine people. If I have a Model X or a Cybertruck that's out there working as an Uber, you know, working these streets, my concern is Tesla. I want Tesla to be like, don't put out the Roadster to not, like, I'm not going to make any money if people are taking the Roadster at like 0 to 60 in 0.8 seconds or some shit. So I think that a lot of the robotaxi reveal is going to be significant things about how the robotaxi business would operate as far as Tesla is concerned, and some sort of a debut of what they envision putting on the road for being a robotaxi that Tesla supports. And all the other vehicles, if you tap that button and if you include your car in the robotaxi network, your car's out there making you money. And here's how your car's getting charged during, you know, like re-electrified during the day if it gets low. Here's how it's going to be cleaned if somebody pukes in the back seat or if somebody's dog decides to rip your seats out or something, like, you know, hopefully they don't have a dog. That's probably a rule. But the idea is, tell the owners of Teslas, hey, your purchase is still valuable and your car is valuable. And to prove this robotaxi business, we're also going to supplement the fleet because there's so many needs for rideshare vehicles. We're making this $25,000 vehicle. It's not going to have Falcon Wing doors because that, you know, even Elon said the Model X was over-engineered even in his estimation. I really think that it's going to be something closer to a Cybertruck design, but more bare bones to the point where it's just literally like, I mean, this is a terrible analogy and I apologize for anyone who has to sit through it. Have you ever been to a public restroom in Paris, France?
That's very specific. No.
Yes,
no.
I know. But I have to draw on life experience, and that's literally that's one thing that came to me. It's the restroom, like the outdoor restrooms, they're like porta-johns, but they're way nicer, like way insanely nicer. But they're also like the whole thing, like they have a technology where they don't allow homeless people to sleep in them because they literally, after 20 minutes, the door locks and they flush. And when they flush the toilet, they literally flush the whole room. They bathe the whole room cleanse it with sprayers. Yep. It's crazy. It's one of those things where it's like, this is luxurious for me who needs to go in there and take a leak and get out. But at a certain point, it's like, this is not somewhere I want to spend more than 10 minutes. That's what I think a robotaxi is. It's the same taxi cab. It's an Uber. It's an uncomfortable situation that I need to get from point A to point B. And they're like, yeah, it's awkward for us too, because we can't make money off of you while you're sitting there. We just need to get you there. And it needs to be like slightly better than a Greyhound, but not really. So I just think that they're going to be like, here are the vehicles that we're going to make as robo-taxis. And also, here's a $25,000 vehicle that we may be selling. It's a similar platform, similar wheelbase, has a steering wheel, that kind of shit. That you can, if you want a cheaper version of the vehicle, because we're making it for ourselves, we might as well make and sell a few. I think that that's kind of be where more of the robo-taxi event will be. And then the majority of the rest of it will just be business plan, how you integrate it into your ownership as an individual or as a fleet owner.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you on that. That's what I think I was trying to say, is I think there's going to be two variants, right? There's going to be the single robo-taxi, and then there's going to be the $25,000. That's the same platform,
just
with same the steering wheel and all that. Yeah. And in our comments, we have KK, who said the same thing a little while ago. He says, or the 25K Tesla is just a robotaxi with the steering wheel added. Yeah, I think I think he hit it on the nose.
Coupe. I mean, what more do you need? Yeah, I think. But then again, like I kind of think back to Cybertruck, and people were just like, are you serious, when they saw the, you know, the reveal? And they're like, no, we're doubling down. This is what it is. So I think. Yeah, like if they come out and say they're like, there's no steering wheel, it is what it is, it's a robotaxi, that's it, then I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to double down and that's what they're going to go for. So it'll be interesting to see, because I think, what better way to mass, like have the consumers mass adopt this robotaxi idea than to sell it to consumers to then work for you to provide the service? It's basically like they're selling an Uber vehicle. To both consumers as well as like investors. Investors are going to like go crazy. Like, if this thing literally is $25,000, someone could come up with, you know, a few hundred thousand worth of investment capital and have a small fleet of robotaxis that are just running around any other city that you want. It's such a good opportunity at that point.
Mm-hmm. It's like Cybertruck Turo business.
Yeah.
Right?
No, seriously.
It was the, you know, you guys did the same thing. You guys bought your Cybertruck and you said, I'm going to make a business out of this. I'm going to put it on Turo and I'm going to rent it out. I'm going to make some money. I think it's going to be the same thing. People are going to buy this vehicle and they're just going to have it work for them. And they'll never even sit in the thing. You know, this is just straight business.
Yeah, it's the perfect solution to, okay, you know, Tesla doesn't necessarily have the cash or the desire to run an entire fleet of vehicles. You know, here we'll sell the things to you and let you guys run it. And also we're going to include all the other vehicles that are out there who want to try and, you know, because there is those tier levels of service with those ride shares. It's like, you know, you've got Uber, you know, Uber steerage where, like, you know, you'll just get packed in the trunk with groceries. And then there's all the way up to, like, you know, the Uber Black Platinum where, you know, it's like free handies the whole way to wherever you're going. It's great.
Exactly.
You know. I think that's the critical thing. There has to be kind of a nuance to it that they have to explain to not just customers but investors, who are basically the same thing, two sides of the same coin. And I think that that's what that event is going to be. And I think that right now the biggest hurdle that is again going to continue to kind of burden them, the albatross around their neck, is advancing that autonomy number, advancing past what they consider what's regulatorily called level 2 autonomy versus, you know, Ford's, which is called level 3 autonomy, only because it has an eye tracking system versus a hand nag on the steering wheel. Like it's like a 2.9 versus a 3.1, or I guess, or a 3.0. Right. And I think that that's where they need to start. They're starting to rally these wagons, circle these wagons around the idea of we need to get out in front of FSD, because everybody kind of has this notion that we're not as far ahead as we are. And I think that that's their demon to slay coming out of the last few years of COVID and economic slowdown, a lot of different things. I think that that's exactly where they're like, all right, well, you know, this is going to be our Hail Mary play. We need to get into this.
Yeah. And now's the time to do it, because
I mean, they're spending so much money on AI training and hardware and stuff. Yeah. Like, this is all core to the Tesla business, and I feel like this is part of the reason I feel why Elon's like, yeah, Tesla needs to be investing in XAI, because that's going to be where the computing is done that may solve this problem for both companies.
I agree. I don't know if it counts, but Mark, one of our loyal listeners, says that he has been to the public restrooms in Paris, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And so
you're not going to admit that in public, are you, sir?
Very close. Where is Paris, Texas now?
Oh, my.
Make sure to put that on my road trip plan.
There you go.
Yeah, check out that public restroom.
It is. Oh, I have actually, I've not driven through Paris, Texas, but I've been up there.
Okay.
And up there, meaning it is basically like northeast Texas, just below Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Northeast.
Really
pretty. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking northwest Texas. I'm like, oh my God.
I'll remember, because there's a lot. I was coming through Texarkana, or I think I was going out of Texarkana, but there's a lot of dry counties up there. Because I was like, I was going to see family, like, oh, I should pick up like a nice like Texas bottle of whiskey. And I realized, oh, wait, I'm in a dry county. Like, it's.
And there still are those. I mean, come on. Yeah. What are you guys even doing that for anymore?
I don't know. I wanted to get into, before we wrap everything up, let's get into the what were they thinking. So here is a nice little video that came out. And I'm sure everybody's probably seen this video already.
Yeah. Because it went viral. Like, it did go viral. Early days.
It did go viral.
But not the rest of the video. Like, they didn't show the entire video, and this is what we're getting at. Like, did you show the first part of it?
No, I got to. I think it's gonna. Okay. There we go. This guy.
So everyone saw this, and it was like, oh, the Cybertruck's doing truck stuff. Yet it's taking out fences, and then that was all we saw. But wait.
He's called Supercar Ron, but I'm imagining it's just influencer level crap here.
Yeah, this is.
Hey guys, look we did.
Look at how much fencing is up in there.
Oh my God.
Up in there, And he gets
what's,
out like,
what's the fluid are we feeling? What are we thinking that is?
It's got to be washer fluid, and maybe.
It looks like washer fluid, doesn't it? It's like blue or greenish.
Something, yeah.
But anyway.
And he did, yeah, if you read his message, he did kind of like, hey, he was like, hey, well, you know, since Whistle and Diesel, like, showed all the cards, we're going to show, like, everything. Yeah, it looks like washer fluid, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe not terrible, but still, it's definitely, like, a heavy repair bill, for sure.
It's essentially, do not do this.
Yeah. Which,
do not.
It's a good thing that they made this kind of bumper, like, custom, and they weren't, like, reselling it right away. But I wonder if this video had anything to do with that decision, because we were talking at one point, they were like, oh, it'd be great if, like, you know, this company made this metal bumper, because that would be awesome. And yet it's missing, like, a skid steer or something, or not skid steer, sorry, like a skid plate underneath,
skid plate, yeah,
underneath, to block all of this. Which
Mark
exactly
in the chat says that was the stock skid plate. So I feel like that's like actual skid plate. I feel like it was just the architecture, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, if you're looking for one, Rival 4x4, they're on go check them out. They actually have one for Cybertruck.
This guy spent a lot of money on lighting for this car, but not on the skid plate. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got the deer killer on the front, I guess. But yeah. No. No,
but
no protection.
I mean, I honestly give a little credit to Supercar Ron, because the fact that they've been sitting on this, and they're like, yeah, we probably should, like, come out and say it. Just because they're probably thinking they didn't give the entire full truth, just to be like, hey, it's new. We don't want to, like, shit on the Cybertruck because we like it. We still want to make content with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe the fact that they withheld that could be held against them. But still, I think the fact they're coming out now is at least kind of redeems that a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. I want to get into the last segment for us here, which is the rap of the week. I'm just waiting for this video.
What rap are they thinking?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we could probably do that if we really wanted to. Hey,
there's a lot of raps in here where we're like, okay, that could be a what were they thinking kind of thing. What rap are they thinking?
100%. 100%. So let's go ahead and pull that up real quick. The rap of the week, which
I'm just looking at, like, if I do get the bid to go to 10-10, 100%, I'm coming out to play golf, by the way. So Jay, if you got a good course in mind,
I just say Palm Springs, man. That's like the spot that
that's a big trip. I'm trying to think of, like, something close to Burbank.
I'm saying if you're driving, like, you're gonna drive through Palm Springs.
Oh no,
on the way here,
I'm just lying.
Hit that.
But yeah,
Palm Springs got some nice golf.
This is awesome. So there's a little backstory to this.
He's got his second freaking Cybertruck.
This is his second, because he was like, I have one in LA. I don't want to ship it out to the other side of the country.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to buy another one.
Yeah. Shaq problems.
Shaq money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this
Shaq
one is
money.
Pretty dope.
That's right.
I like it.
Yeah, it's really nice. A local
Cyber
shop.
Diesel.
Empire Custom Wraps over here in Southern California wrapped it. If you look at the light bar, he has the Nemesis light bar from SW Lights.
Nice.
Which is the light bar that I have. He has some underglow. He's got custom wheels and tires. So it just really, it's a simple gloss black wrap. And then they throw the Cyber Diesel on the tailgate. But it just, the whole setup, everything is just really clean about it. And I love the fact that it's Shaq, right? So
yeah.
I wanted to make that the wrap of the week and give Shaq and, you know, friends over at Empire Custom Wraps and Sean over there at SW Lights some props on, you know, the custom Shaq build. So,
yeah. Shout out to the comment section with Smuggler's Run. They're having an event October 18th if you're in SoCal. Another off-road event.
They 100% are. Have you seen that, what they do over there?
Not yet, but I just saw that they, like, tagged me in something. But I will say, though, with the Shaq thing, he went an extra route of, like, redoing the trim, like, around the wheels, so they're all, like, carbon fiber, too. So
that's the unplugged performance, you know, a wheel covers. Yeah. Those are pretty...
Like Shaq. He can do what he wants.
Pretty gnarly. Since you brought up the Smuggler's Run, let me go ahead and give them a shout out.
I feel like in Shaq Cybertruck, they have to get rid of the front seat and he has to sit in the back and, like, drive that way. It's like Andre the Giant.
I think in the video he mentions that he has to remove the rear seats or something.
Yep.
But right here, Smuggler's Run, which is a group of guys out here in Southern California. They do these runs, off-roading runs, and they're going to do one with Cybertrucks. So right here, here's their little video on their website, and it's pretty wild what they do. It's a, I believe, a 3-day event, and they go from spot to spot, and there's tasks and survival things to do.
It's fun.
So yeah, they've invited me to go do that. Not sure if I'm going to have the availability to do that, because it is a whole weekend, but it's pretty. Pretty interesting to say
the least. Looks to be sponsored by Gel Blaster.
Yeah. Look at these guys. Be out there fighting.
I think you should do it.
I mean, but the thing is, like, this is.
I'm only doing it if you're doing it, Will.
Okay. Oh, shit.
You go do it.
All right.
Just do it. But the thing is that, like, this is exciting for me because I think we talked about it, like, months ago, but, like, the idea of how, like, Jeep culture has their, like, their own, like, thing. You know, but like Cybertrucks, we all understood it, like, okay, this is going to be a new thing. And then we really haven't figured out like where all of that kind of like settles into being like a stable culture that people are like, oh yeah, that's the Cybertruck thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. We're still seeing like kind of everyone try to figure that out still, which is really
I think
cool.
Cybertruck should focus more on glamping.
Honestly,
I feel like it's basically the glamping vehicle. It's like it's a mobile power source. It's comfortable as hell. It can drive you there practically, you know, and just like, yeah, and there it's comfortable. And you got like two different power sources. You're like, you could run the whole campsite off of your car.
I've done that.
See?
I got videos on that. But Protoja, my buddy Cobra, is in chat and he mentions talking about the Smuggler's Run. Hopefully there are superchargers nearby. So awesome. Where they're going is they're going out to Johnson Valley, which is where we did our Cyber Odyssey a few weeks back with the 1819 Cybertrucks. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any troubles with supercharging or anything like that. But I can see if you're going to be doing a whole weekend, I'm sure within their whole event or weekend, there'll be stops at some superchargers to make sure everybody's topped off. But that could be a potential concern. I went out to Trona Pinnacles about 3 weeks ago, and that was a pain in the butt. I got to a supercharger. It was telling me I was going to get there with 2%. So that kind of got a little risky.
I would question that because what supercharger did you guys hit on the way out there? Did you go north or south?
To where? Johnson Valley?
Yeah, Johnson Valley.
We went out to Victorville. So we went to Victorville. We supercharged there. I got there a little late. I didn't have enough time to get to 100%. I only got to like 90 or something like that. But the distance from Victorville to the Johnson Valley spot isn't that far. So I was able to get back to Victorville and charge. And I was
fine. It's not too bad. It's nice. Like 50-ish miles almost. But
yeah. It's not too bad.
Cool.
Like anything, when you own an EV, you got to plan it all out. And
yeah,
it's just what to be it safe. Is.
Yeah, and then someone has a diesel generator just in case.
Yeah. Well, I don't. But
I was gonna say I've still yet to hook up my like propane/gas generator to the truck to see what I can get out of it.
Well, guys,
I'm being threatened by like three different fires, so I got to get my generator out like any minute now.
yeah, you got to make sure you're safe. But speaking of Cobra, if you're still listening, I'm going to have to end the podcast because I got word that those V4 chargers are open. So I'm going to run over there.
Get on it. Go, go.
Ooh.
So I'll meet you over there, Cobra. Race there.
Nice.
All right. All right, guys.
Cool.
Later.
Peace.